You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 77. The last show was all about Marie Laveau, the famous voodoo priestess. It was my second interview with Carolyn Morrow Long, an author who wrote terrific books about both Marie Laveau and Madame LaLaurie. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. Today's show is our second annual Small Business Spotlight episode in advance of Small Business Saturday. Before we jump into my discussion with this year's featured business owners, I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, Liz Wood Realty. Are you finally ready to move to New Orleans, but you don't know where to start? Let Liz and her team help you find the right place, whether you plan to rent or purchase the home of your dreams. New Orleans is a terrific city, but choosing the neighborhood that's the best fit for you can definitely seem overwhelming. Liz makes the process fun and easy, and she educates her clients along the way. Reach out to her at lizwoodrealty.com and make your dream of living in New Orleans a reality. Now, let's jump into today's discussion. As I mentioned, today we're featuring two local small business owners. My goal with this show is to introduce you to New Orleans entrepreneurs who have cool stories and interesting products. Both of my guests today definitely fit those criteria. I enjoyed speaking with them, and I know you'll enjoy the conversations. So let's jump in. Hey, y'all. My guest today is the owner of Sweet Olive Soapworks here in New Orleans. She also has deep connections to the city, is passionate about her neighborhood, and has a surprising connection to one of our sponsors. Welcome to the show, Emily Manger. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I am really excited to be here too, even though it's a rainy and muggy afternoon for mid-November.
It's not nice today.
No, but it will be soon enough. So, you know, one of the reasons that we're here is because this episode is all about, or in advance of, we're recording it in advance of Small Business Saturday. And I really like to take the opportunity to highlight small businesses and small business owners. So thank you again for having me here today. I appreciate it. One of the things I wanted to talk about before we get into the Soapworks is you. You were born here in New Orleans, right?
I was. I'm a 13th generation New Orleanian. I was born and raised in the Carrollton Riverbend neighborhood. I've spent my life in New Orleans. I love New Orleans. It's a story of me, a story of my family.
Well, and I think I read somewhere that you were actually born at Charity Hospital?
I was. I was born at Charity Hospital after the Great Flood of 78.
Was that like May 5th,
it was
May 6th?
It was. I was actually a little bit late, and by the time they got me to the emergency room, I decided to hold on for a little bit longer. But yeah, and then the roads were so flooded, my dad actually had to pick Mom up in a canoe to get us back to where we needed to go, to where there was dry land to get to a car, then to get into a vehicle. And my dad loves that story, and he says he was drinking Dixie beer the whole way home, shouting, "It's a girl, it's a girl."
So I remember that flood. I was 8 years old, 7 years old, and we were trapped at my grandparents, my mama's house, maternal grandmother's house, on Music Street in Chantilly. And I remember my dad trying to drive through, and the street was just a little bit higher than the rest of the land. And I remember him driving through in a blue station wagon to try to come save us and couldn't get there. So that's funny. So did you grow up here in Carrollton?
I did. I actually grew up in the house that we're in right now.
Really?
I live on one side. It's double shotgun. Yeah. So I live on one side, and I operate my business, Sweet Olive Soap Works, on the other side. So you're sitting at the beginning. This is where it started. And then I was really lucky in 2009. My dad offered to sell me the property, and immediately, yes, I would love to come home to Carrollton. At that point, I was living downtown, and I just wanted to, I wanted to come home, and I'm just so glad to be here. So I've been back up here since 2009, and I'm staying put.
And we were talking, we're just a block off of Oak Street, which is sort of the heart, Oak Street, and then a little further over Maple Street, sort of the heart of Carrollton.
Yes, the Riverbend.
Here in the Riverbend. We did an episode about the Riverbend specifically, and we did another episode with Chef Frank Brightson, of Brightson's right down the street. But it's such a community, and we'll talk about the community of Carrollton a little bit later, but... Why soap?
Well, My grandma, Grandma Baroni, taught me to make soap when I was a little girl. She made soap. Her mother made soap. Her mother made soap. Her mother made soap. And this is a really long New Orleans family tradition in my family. And I can't even count up how many generations of soap makers I come from, but that's not really unusual because actually every single one of us comes from generations of soap makers. Making soap in your household was a very normal household chore. The heads of the family made soap. You didn't just go to the store and buy it. And they made this lard and lye soap, basically using cast off of animal remains, wood ash oak that they had collected in wooden barrels in the backyard to make lye. And once, you know, we had stores come in and save us from this actually tedious and rather dangerous task, we were able to go to stores and buy soap. So that tradition fell off. But in my family, it didn't fall off. So I do have several people in my family that know how to make soap. And we use the same techniques. Different materials, though. We're not using lard and we're not using barrel oak ashes. It's perfectly safe. But our family kept that tradition. And that was something, after Katrina hit, I kept thinking, what can I do? What can I do to be still connected to a New Orleans and New Orleans that I was scared was gone. And it just hit me, you know what? I want to make some of Grandma's soap. And it just made me feel so comforted to have something that was such a longstanding family tradition in a world that was chaos, to be able to settle down and really concentrate on that. And I started selling soap at the bar that I was working at. I would get off of work and I had this little basket of soap that I would make with beer, and my customers loved it. And I finally got to a point where I was making more money selling my customers beer and whiskey soap than I was making behind the bar. And I thought, you know, maybe I could make this a business. This might work. And people thought I was nuts. And I quit my job and I said, give me 3 months. If I don't make it in 3 months, please hold my place. I would like my job back. And I made it.
Wow. And so where did the name Sweet Olive Soap Works come from?
Well, I love the plant Sweet Olive. I love that smell. There's nothing finer in the world to me than a fresh Sweet Olive blossom. I don't know if you noticed when you walked in, but I have one in the front.
Right.
I hug that tree. I guess I'm a tree-hugging kind of gal. But yeah, Sweet Olive is just, it's a fabulous smell. And it's so regional because I think New Orleanians, that's one smell that hits them, and it's very nostalgic to us. It smells like our childhood.
Yeah. And so that kind of leads to one of the things that I notice is that you really take that local to heart.
I do.
The products, the ingredients. Can we talk about that a little bit, about use local ingredients as much as possible,
yes,
locally sourced?
Well, New Orleans is known for all sorts of wonderful things, and being healthy isn't one of them. And so when I was kind of coming up with this idea of what do I want to do, I wanted to do something that promoted the healthier aspects of our culture. We live in an area where Mother Nature has given us such magnificent grounds to grow with. There's so much great produce that comes out of New Orleans. And I thought, could I put that in soap? Would people think I was crazy? Can I feed your skin? And that kind of became my mission, feed your skin, because we live in this such a culinary city. And chefs are celebrated. Chefs in this town are rock stars.
Yeah.
We live to eat. We talk about where we're going to eat next. Can I feed your skin? And it's so important what we put on our skin. So I started approaching my soap making and steering away from the way my ancestors had made it, as in, what kind of food can I put up in here? And will it be, will it make soap? And I've discovered you can make a lot of soap out of a lot of weird things, like Merlotons, for instance.
Really?
And it's great for your skin, and you really are. You're giving your skin nutrients that it needs. And in a city where we're not necessarily angels, it's a good kind of everything-to-day thing to do for yourself, to put something good on your skin, because we don't know what the rest of the day is going to hold for you.
So let's tell the listeners a little bit about maybe a couple of examples of your soaps and ingredients that go into them.
Well, I like to use, I use Creole tomatoes, I use red beans and rice powders, I use the camellia beans, I use locally grown rice, I use liquor, I use Sazerac rye whiskey soap, I use tons of herbs that are here, locally grown, all organic. The farmer's market's my best friend. You can find me every weekend hunting through, looking for the best produce, anything locally grown that I think can make soap, it's going in the soap pot.
And you have a collaboration, I think, with some local breweries as well, right?
I have a collaboration with Enola Brewing Company, and I use one of their beers to make a beer soap that's great. I used to do a Dixie beer soap. I always try to have at least one beer soap because that's where I started.
Right.
I started off with beer soap, and so it's always going to be my homage. We're always going to have a beer soap, and it's going to be locally brewed beer.
That's great. That's great. And so the idea of the local ingredients, you also, so we should mention again that the name of your company is Sweet Olive Soap Works. People, and we'll put all the links to this over in the show notes, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com/77. But people can find your products online at sweetolivesoapworks.com.
Yes.
You also have an Etsy store, right?
I do.
Sweet Olive Soap Works. On your webpage, and again, we'll link to that, is a list of, one of the things I love is people can buy your products at local places here in New Orleans, as well as some other places in other states, right?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, people love New Orleans from all across the world. I ship to Japan. There's a New Orleanians everywhere, and you see these people who approach me about wholesale accounts in faraway places like Oregon. Like, well, that, why would you want to carry red beans and rice soap? That's just kind of strange to me, but they're selling it.
Right.
It's working.
See, to me, that makes a perfect connection to Oregon and trying to get back to local ingredients, mm-hmm. and things like that, right? So that's pretty interesting. The other thing is that one of the reasons, one of the reasons we're talking is that I wanted to highlight small businesses in advance of Small Business Saturday so that our listeners would have the opportunity to patronize small businesses in New Orleans. And one of the great things is, even if you're not in New Orleans, on Small Business Saturday, you can purchase Sweet Olive Soap Works soaps all over the place.
Yes.
Or certainly in a lot of places and certainly online. But the way you and I know each other through another connection, which we'll talk about in a bit, and that's our love of the neighborhood. But the way that I got directly connected to you is that my sponsor, the Old 77 Hotel, is a hotel that carries your products in their chandelier.
Yes, it's amazing. When they approached me and asked me if I wanted to sell my soap there, it was a brand new hotel that they had just taken over and renovated. And I immediately knew what building they were talking about because my ancestors worked in that building. It was the E.J. Hart Wholesale Drug and Groceries. And my ancestors worked there in the 1800s for years. And not only that, but they were such good friends. My family was such good friends with the Hart family. The Hart family really helped them out of hard economic times after the Civil War when my family had lost their grocery stores and their lands, and helped set them up with a new life. I very, very seriously doubt I could be sitting here today if E.J. Hart hadn't intervened and basically rescued us. And my great-great-great-grandfather and his brother were actually pallbearers. Pallbearers.
But
they were pallbearers at E.J. Hart's funeral. So immediately, yes, yes, I absolutely want to have my soap in your building where my people have already been before.
It's such an amazing coincidence. So the building, and we'll talk about it in a moment, but the building's at 535 Chapitulas. Just a couple blocks, two blocks, a block off of Poydras. But I was sitting there with Lisa Miller, the general manager there, and John Price recently, and Lisa brought that up. I was talking about, hey, who do you know that's a local business? And Lisa said, well, you already know her, but she has this amazing story besides the products. She has this amazing story in connection to the building. And we were sitting there in Compare Le Pen eating lunch and just got chills, like thinking about that connection.
I have little goosebumps too.
It's such an amazing sort of random thing, but very typical New Orleans
I think we all do. If we look into our families past enough, we're all going to find these connections. We just need to know how to find them and look for them. I'm just very fortunate. I came from a family that liked to tell stories. So I know a lot more, I think. But it also turned out that Lisa is my neighbor.
Right.
Which we had no idea that we lived a block away from each other. So that's been wonderful.
Yeah, I read something recently that basically there's only like 6 people in New Orleans and
yes.
The rest is smoke and mirrors. And it certainly feels that way. But that might be a good time to talk about the Old 77. They are one of my sponsors. And for those of you that have been listening for a while, you've heard me talk about them. You already know it's in a great location, the Warehouse District, a couple blocks from the French Quarter. You know about the variety of rooms. You hear me talk about Compare Le Pen, their award-winning restaurant. But today I wanted to mention their focus on art and artisans. Specifically, they have a gallery in partnership with another great local business, Ware Yart. And really, the gallery is just a long hallway, but don't let that fool you. They select local people to curate exhibits. In fact, right now, I think it's still going on, is the one by Richard Campanella.
It's great.
And that is a fabulous exhibit. It's called Urbanism and Eccentricities. Richard's been a three-time guest on the podcast, so we know him well. But the exhibit celebrates the preservation of New Orleans history as it's passed down on front porches. And front porches is something we'll talk about in a minute, because there's lots of great front porches in this neighborhood. But it's an amazing exhibit, and it's just one of the ways that Old 77 keeps its focus local. Another is a commitment to local artists like you, Emily. They sell Sweet Olive Soap in the Chandlery, which is a little kind of store up front. And they sell products from several other New Orleans businesses, including Chop Industries, who we interviewed on this show a year ago, and Liz from Lionheart Prints. Her things are in there as well. Anyway, I just love the hotel. I love the location. I love the way they do business. And I certainly love it as a destination for those of you listening and wanting to come in and stay in a great spot. Use code BBOLD77 when you book a room and save 25%. Plus, you get a bit of lagniappe, a little something extra, in the form of a $10 credit at the coffee shop, Tootla, downstairs. And you could go down to the Chandlery and buy some Sweet Olive Soap, take it back up to the room, and have a nice bath.
So. There you go. Yeah, I really like to go there. It's a place that I don't feel at all just caters to tourists. I go there as a local. I hang out there. I eat there. Oh, my goodness, do I try to eat there as often as I can. I always love the art exhibits. The staff is so nice. It's just a great place, and it's so local-centric. It just doesn't have that tourist downtown vibe at all.
I really love the support of the artists and artisans like yourself. I love the fact that they sell local products. And I think that the people that stay there, and certainly our listeners fit that as well, they want to take something back to remind them of New Orleans, but they don't want touristy kind of stuff, right? And lots of the products they sell, like your soaps, like Patty's bags, like the cards, so many other things there, are things that you can use in your everyday life and still sort of have a little taste of New Orleans, a little sliver of New Orleans when you go back. Besides the soap, and by the way, I should mention that you can follow Sweet Olive on Instagram at Sweet Olive Nola. And I didn't realize that until recently because of the other thing you do on Instagram. So I want to talk for just a minute, if we can. We alluded to it. We are sitting in the Carrollton neighborhood, or in River Bend, which is sort of a part of Carrollton. But you have a passion for the neighborhood.
Yes.
And you display that passion online as the Carrolltonian, which again, we'll link to online. But you tell these amazing stories on Instagram about the houses and the architectural details in the neighborhood of this city, or of this part of the city. What spurred that in you?
Well, growing up here, I had a lot of questions. I was a Y kid. And when it came to the history of the neighborhood that I was in, nobody could really give me any answers. And it was very frustrating. And so when I moved back up here in 2009, I thought, you know, somebody has to have done something by now. It's been so long. And I looked and I looked and I really just couldn't find anything. And I was like, I have to answer these questions for myself because nobody could give them to me. So I really started going and looking at the homes. And it's not about necessarily the architecture for me. It's the people who lived within that architecture. I like to tell stories about people, about New Orleans families. And going and looking at the histories of the home and uncovering these people. And through them, I've been able to unlock so many keys that are pulling together the real, true, unwritten history of this neighborhood together. And it's been fascinating and time-consuming. And I might have a problem. I might have a very serious addiction, but it's one of the highlights of my day is getting off of work and going, okay, I get an hour to research this. And then being able to bring it to people. And I love that it's grown this community of people who have all this Carrollton pride, who also grew up like me going, what's the deal with this place? Why are we here? What's going on? Because there's no books written about us. There's not really anything about us. And we're important. We're Carrolltonians.
And it's such a, you know, at one point, and when we did the episode about the River Bend, and we did a separate episode about the streetcars, Carrollton was sort of like this resort area at one point. I mean, you think about that. We're 6-7 miles if you come down St. Charles Avenue from the Warehouse District from downtown. But it was considered sort of a weekend resort destination.
Yes, it was rural. We had the Hotel Carrollton, which had beautiful gardens. I mean, people traveled from all over the state just to come and relax in the beauty of Carrollton. It was so different from downtown where, you know, people were really cramped. It was dirty. The air wasn't great. People could come up here and breathe. Flowers everywhere. It was just a paradise. And, there, you know, once it started really developing, it became dairies and family farms. And we really didn't become very well built up, I guess, maybe till about 1950s, 19, even into the late 1920s. So when you find really old architecture in Carrollton, it's exciting, you know, because most things around here were built after 1900.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I do. I sometimes just try to imagine what would it have been like? What would have it smelled like? Apparently it smelled fabulous.
Well, and that was the way you and I originally connected, because we have about 28,000 Instagram followers at Beyond Bourbon ST on Instagram. And my passion over there is to share pictures of houses. But your passion, as I see it, is not only do you share pictures of houses and details, but you share those stories that you were talking about. And you just give these great sort of history lessons. The picture draws you in, but then when you start reading, and even the other day I got you out of Carrollton a little bit. I posted a house and, I don't know, an hour later you'd come up with the history of that house, but really the people. And it reminds me a lot, an earlier guest on the show was Sally Asher, who talks about the people who are buried in the St. Louis cemeteries of New Orleans. And of course, she's talking about people in the past, and sometimes you are too. But it strikes me that there's a real similarity between your two passions.
Yes.
She tends to talk about people who now reside in our cemeteries, and you talk about the houses when they were living. And you give just as much energy and life to their stories. And I think it is easy to get hung up walking through and see the nice architecture, but it's really, you bring it to life in a way that's just really great.
Thank you.
So I was excited to get to meet you, and I'm going to, again, I'll link to all of that as well. I want people to know about Sweet Olive Soapworks and certainly search out and buy Emily's products, but I want, it's a way, again, for the listener that loves New Orleans and when they're not here, wants a connection. Well, if you're not following Emily as the Carrolltonian on Instagram, you ought to be doing that, because it'll give you a daily dose of New Orleans. And certainly, I think if you take your Instagram and my Instagram account, you get a nice swath of the city. But again, you can also find Sweet Olive on Instagram at Sweet Olive NOLA. So you can follow Emily.
I'm not as good about posting on Sweet Olive NOLA as the Carrolltonian.
No, you're
but,
not.
I'm really not.
But it's a
but
great way.
But my customers are there.
And it's a great way to learn about your products, though. Not only do you have the pictures, but you get into kind of the same level of detail about what went into the story behind some of those products. So I think that's a great way to find out about it as well. I imagine your family's got to be really proud and really happy that you've continued the soap making tradition.
They really are. They thought I was nuts, but it worked out, and my family has become my biggest supporters. It's been great. My grandma passed away in the 90s. I think she would have flat out told me, "Oh no, don't you dare throw away your life to do this." But I don't think she realized that I could make it something that she just couldn't.
Sure.
I just have so many more resources than she did. I've been around for 11 years. It's been an amazing, amazing 11 years, and I hope I get to do it for another 34 at least.
Well, and it's pretty incredible that we're sitting in this space that you literally grew up in, and your family grew up in, and we are surrounded by both the finished product, and we'll take some pictures if that's all right afterwards and post them, but the finished product of these beautifully smelling soaps, and even the boxes they come in are so beautiful. And then right in the next room, you can see sort of the rawness of the soap making process. It just seems like such a full circle and such a great New Orleans story. I so appreciate you taking the time to share it with us. And again, people can find, we'll put all the links over in the show notes, but we'll put links on how people can find out more about you and about the Carrolltonian, but specifically about Sweet Olive Soapworks and where they can learn the story and see the pictures and certainly purchase your products. So thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you.
My second guest today is one of the co-owners of NOLA Boards, a New Orleans-based shop that makes handcrafted cutting boards, countertops, and custom furniture. Along with her husband, she's created a business whose products tell the story of New Orleans through the names and the raw materials. Welcome to the show, Mandy Simpson. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with me today. You know, this episode is all about highlighting entrepreneurs here in New Orleans. It'll come out just in advance of Small Business Saturday. And I'm really intrigued by the story of how this business that you and your husband, Darren, created really came out of another business. So can you tell us just a little bit about how Nola Boards came to be?
Sure. So kind of odd, actually, how I personally ended up being in the business. Darren, my husband, he's been a woodworker for over 20 years. And he has always kind of done his own thing on the side. He's built out restaurants around town, bars, much bigger projects. And then one day, a friend of ours, Simone from Simone's Market over on Oak Street, she asked Darren if he could make her a cutting board for a wedding present for a friend that she was going to. And he said, sure. I mean, with all the scraps that I have from all the projects that we're doing, I could make you 1,000 cutting boards. So obviously she didn't need that many, but he made her a beautiful cutting board. And I took a picture of it just to kind of show people how pretty it came out and put it on Facebook. And crazy, you know how Facebook is. You put something out and it just kind of explodes. Well, all of our friends and family just commented on it and started, you know, asking if we could make them some cutting boards as well. So we did, and we just kind of started growing totally organically. At that time, I was in a whole different career, had like 3 previous careers prior to this, but then I was working as a, my master's degree is in social work, and I was a heart transplant social worker at Ochsner. Mm. So, you know, we had this explosion, I guess, people requesting, you know, that they wanted different products from us. So I thought, well, why don't we, you know, I've always had a side hustle my whole life. I guess somewhere in me was always that entrepreneurial spirit. Right. So always had like 2 or 3 things going on the side. So I said, well, why don't we just make some of these and start taking them out to local markets just for fun. Let's see what that does. So we did, and we started doing a few markets around town. Some of the, you know, the just so many good markets. And from there, it just kept growing and growing. And then in 2015, I was still working my other job, and I got a call from Rachel Ray, not her, her people, calling my people, which was me. And they said that somebody put our boards in her hand and she loved them, and that she wanted to put it in her her gift guide for the holidays that year. So our boards ended up being the number one gift for the holidays, and Rachel Ray, full page spread, totally unsolicited. And I should say from that point on is where, you know, well, and you guys, it just grew.
This part of this side of the business really was pretty new at that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it really wasn't much of anything. We didn't even have a retail store at that point. I was, you know, still sort of struggling with my day job and all the intensity of that, and then getting phone calls on my cell phone for orders. And I just kind of, it got to a point where I needed to make a decision, you know, either help my husband with the business, because he's definitely the craftsman. He does not like doing, you know, the customer service and things like that. He just wants to build things. And I thought, well, I think I could play my hand at that. I do have a background in photography. That's what I did. I did wedding photography for many years before this. And then, you know, obviously, like I said, went to school for social work. So I thought, well, I guess I have some good people skills. I think I could try my hand at running a business.
Well, it seems like the perfect marriage, if you will, of that, of his skills and your skills.
Right.
And then to me, so the way that we first, my wife and I found Nola Boards was exactly that, a wedding gift, right?
Right.
Which is
very popular, perfect for that.
Our listeners, many of whom, most of whom are not in New Orleans, they come to New Orleans and they want something to take away.
Yes.
That's a little bit unique. And I think your products that we'll get into, and we're surrounded by them here in the store, are the perfect embodiment of that, right? It's a nicer gift. It's something that's going to last a long, long time.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's something that people use all the time.
Yes.
It just like checked all those boxes. Now, the people that we gave our cutting board to actually got married and then moved to New Orleans.
Oh.
They live not too far from here now in the Irish Channel. So it's pretty funny when we see the cutting board on their table now. But you know, you mentioned the publicity, and to me, one of the things that's really appealing is the, that you guys have really kept it local. If we could talk a little bit about some of the woods and some of the ideas behind that.
Okay. Well, we when we really started growing the business and thought, well, we need to really have a line of cutting boards. We do make a lot of one-of-a-kind things, mm-hmm. but we wanted to really highlight the city and the things that it embodies, the food, the culture, the people. So I thought, well, what better way than to design boards that are based on some of these things that I've grown up with and grown up around, the things that really make me happy and, mm-hmm. you know, keep me here and that kind of thing. So we did. So we, for example, we designed a board called the Wild Chapatulas, which is, it's this one over here. Yep. but basically it has all kinds of wild stripes in it, and it just kind of reminded me of the Mardi Gras Indian group, sure. which I've always loved going to see. And then, you know, pulling in cooking, of course, into it, we have a board called the Trinity, which is based off the Holy Trinity of cooking, you know, the celery, garlic, and green pepper, which is the base of all, you know, all of our famous dishes here.
I love that you guys have that, and then you have the triangles, and you right. refer to the Marini triangle. It reminded me, we're sitting on Magazine Street, not far as the sort of Magazine Street triangle, but you guys honor that with the names and kind of the lines,
yes.
as well as
yes.
the actual wood.
The wood too, yeah. So we also have a board called the Atchafalaya, which is made totally of sinker cypress, which is a Louisiana wood, and has a really interesting history about how sinker cypress came about. This wood is the wood that they used to, the cypress they used to ship down the Mississippi River, you know, over 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. These are the logs that fell off the barges into the bottom of the river and now are being, you know, dug up, and basically they have to be pulled out, dry for many years, and then you can actually turn it into something. So yeah, so the Atchafalaya is one of those boards, and then we include sinker cypress in a lot of our other boards mm-hmm. as well.
I love the colors. So sinker cypress, again, as you described for people not from here, it just gets these kind of real earthy tones, I assume, from the minerals and whatever else it
yes.
comes into contact
yeah.
with.
Swampy colors.
Being submerged, right. And it really is reminiscent of the swamp.
Right.
And it just gets this deep, again, browns and greens. And
exactly. Yeah, you're not going to find
board.
It anywhere else. And we don't stain or dye any of our cutting boards. Everything that you see is the natural color. We also have a carnival board, which is a purple, yellow, and green board. We don't have them right now, but around carnival time we'll have them, and that uses sinker cypress and then some exotic woods in it as well.
That is the board that we purchased as a gift for Chris and Jen, who are
nice.
Listeners of the show. But it really is, again, kind of that very unique way of blending in not only the names but the colors and the
right.
you pick that up and you hear the story and it will forever evoke carnival, even if you're not here, right?
Exactly.
And if you're lucky enough to be here, then it's a neat thing when you walk into someone's house and you see that at Mardi
right.
Gras.
Yeah.
Which we've had that experience. You walk in and you got the spread for Mardi Gras running in
yes.
and out, right? And you see that and you just, again, it's a great gift. Right behind you on the wall. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking, we're in November here on Magazine Street in the pop-up store right off Napoleon Avenue, and right behind you, Mandy, are these wonderful. So if you've ever seen our listeners, if you've ever seen the magnetic sticks that you use in the kitchen to mount knives, mm-hmm. you guys have a great take mm-hmm. on that.
Yeah, we thought we would spice it up a little. We like to call all of our products functional art. So not only can they be useful for something, but they are pretty too.
Mm-hmm.
So these are our magnetic knife holders, and we kind of base them off the designs, some of them off the designs of our boards, and then some of them are very unique with our live edge wood and our Pecky cypress. And then we also partner with a local knife maker, Alan LeBlanc, who he comes from a, you know, family of knife makers.
Sure.
And then he makes the knife handles to match our magnetic knife holders, so you can have a nice set.
So they're fabulous, and doesn't translate well to an audio program, but we'll take some pictures and put them on our Facebook page and on social media. But it really dresses up what is a very functional thing. And again, to your point, right, makes it artistic, and I can see that being a real, someone walks into a kitchen,
right.
and everyone, certainly here in New Orleans, winds up in the kitchen, right?
Yes, always. You always end up at the kitchen island, and it just seems like no matter where you try to, if you're trying to host a party and you're dining room or your, you know, your porch or whatever, you always end up back in the kitchen, no matter what.
Certainly here, right, with food and drink. But it's just such a beautiful kind of statement piece that's also functional.
Right, exactly.
And you mentioned Allen and the knives. One of the other things, as I was preparing to talk to you, that you guys do, like so many of the others that we've featured over the years here, is that you guys seem to be really collaborative and really interested in highlighting other local makers and artisans.
Yeah, absolutely. We really, I feel like we were welcomed so strongly into the community of, you know, the artist community just in general, you know, being a small business, that I've always wanted to help other artists and artisans that are maybe are lesser known and, you know, don't have a retail location, that kind of thing. So we do carry a bunch of other local artists. We carry Judy DeGeorge. She does these beautiful cuffs, jewelry cuffs, that I call them foodie cuffs. So they've got the silverware on them. They're really cute. It ties into our whole theme. And then we have a whole entire bar wall that we love to highlight all the cocktail tinctures that we have, because that's very New Orleans too.
Of course.
And El Guapo is one of the companies
the
here.
Bitters.
The bitters and the syrups. They're locally made, and they're one of our best-selling products here. So we just love to incorporate other people. And then at this particular pop-up that we're doing, we are joined by Maggie Covert with Walking Man Studios and Camden with Sola Deli, which just turned out to be a perfect fit for us. Both of them, you know, locally made, and we've been loving showing off everybody else's products too.
I was trying not to move around while we're recording, but Walking Man Studios has a great Instagram account where you can see, and we'll link all that up, but where you can see some of the images that you have on display here are some of them certainly like that. And also I see beeswax next to me.
Yes.
And you guys use local products for seasoning the boards too,
yeah,
right?
So all of the boards, they do need a sealant, you know, to protect them after they're finished being made. So we use Fleur de Bees, Gina Lanier. She's a local beekeeper. That's kind of her side hustle. She has another day job, but she makes all of our mineral oil and beeswax conditioner for the board. She does chapstick, and she also sells local honey through us here. So we do, we highlight our cheese boards a lot, so the honey really goes with that. And, you know, it just tastes amazing.
Again, it just like, it really, I think that you can pick up a NOLA board and you get a story behind it.
Right.
And you get something, you know, it feels to me, as someone that grew up in a restaurant and in the kitchen, trends go back and forth between wood and plastic.
Yes.
And we certainly use both in our home, but there's something about pulling out a nice wooden board that never goes out of style. It will last far longer than us if you treat it with just a little bit of care.
Exactly.
And certainly you guys are using hardwoods.
Yes.
I love that idea of functional art, you know, and I think that, again, it's a great gift. It's a great thing if you are a New Orleanian and you want to add something to your house. And then also that collaboration, you mentioned Simone. Simone has a fabulous market over on Oak Street and a great story unto herself. So you guys just opened a spot in the French Quarter, right?
Yeah, so actually last July we opened in the French Quarter on Wilkinson Street, which is... if you're facing Jackson Square, it's just one block to the left. There's a Walgreens on the corner there, and we're just down that block. It's a fabulous little street that's just been renovated. It was run down for many years. I remember as a teenager, that's the street we would find like the hidden parking when we were going out to Bourbon Street.
right.
But now it's there's apartment buildings above us, and then retail and service-based shops below. And it's just it's a great little street, and we do get more down there is more focused on tourists. Mm-hmm. Not as many locals I know don't shop, you know, in the quarter necessarily,
right.
But it's great because we get to meet people from all around the world.
Sure. And then your products are also available at other local places and online, right?
Yeah, online, other local places. One new place that started selling our products is Simply Gourmet. Mm-hmm. They're over in the CBD area by the new Rouse's. They're an all kitchen related store, and we're really pleased that they've taken us on to highlight the cutting boards in there.
And longtime listeners of the show know that one of our sponsors is the Old 77, and I believe I've seen Nola Boards products in the little chandelry up front there as well.
Yeah.
And so also, you and I were talking before we came on. So like me, you are a New Orleans, well, I'm a New Orleans guy, but you're a New Orleans girl. You were born and raised here.
Yes, born and raised, as they say. I'm an uptown girl, always have lived uptown when as a kid and now. I went to Dominican for high school and then went to LSU for a short time, ended up back home and graduated from Tulane. So with my my undergrad and my master's.
Very nice. So I'm a Brother Martin guy, as we were talking about. So it's good to get the shout out to the Catholic schools and to Dominican. And so it seems like the business has continued to grow and grow and grow.
Yeah.
And has it caused a problem for the original business?
That's interesting. So the original business you're referring to is New Orleans Woodworking.
Thank you.
That's that is primarily my husband's business, where he built out the larger installations and things like that. However, they are the manufacturers of Nolan Board's products, so that probably is 2/3 of that business now. And eventually we might one day want to make that the only thing that we're manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
We have definitely grown on the Nolan Board side in terms of not moving away from the cutting boards, but adding on our countertop offerings.
Yeah.
We now do wooden butcher block countertops, island tops, and that's been steadily growing. It's, I think, just a matter of getting it in front of people and letting them know that we do it. We have a lot of people saying, wow, we didn't know that you did countertops too. And we're like, yeah, we love doing countertops. We absolutely love, having this highlight piece when you walk into mm-hmm. a kitchen and just have it warm up the room. And then we've also moved into furniture as well, mainly focusing on dining room furniture, dining tables and things like that. And then in the spring of 2019, we're going to be launching a dining room furniture line where we're going to allow clients to sort of mix and match their bases with the top that they want.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it'll be fun.
I should have mentioned that. We'll put links to all the ways that the listeners can find out about you guys over on our website. It'll be beyondbourbonst.com/77. But you can find Nola Boards at nolaboards.com and on Instagram at Nola Cutting Boards. But on the website, you have these fabulous pictures of some of the big islands.
Yes.
As well as some cabinets, it looks like, perhaps, mm-hmm. or cabinet fronts.
Yes.
But yeah, one of the pictures I saw was largely sort of a white kitchen with just this beautiful hardwood, very large island,
yeah.
and then with almost a separate cutting board inset into
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, we do a lot of custom work.
Mm-hmm.
People want to, customize and make their home space their own. And one of the fun things that we do is, have an island and then have inset cutting boards that are flush with your island. So people always are asking us about the finish of it and scratching up their island and things like that, or, cutting on it.
Sure.
And really, what we offer is a protected countertop several coats of polyurethane. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, you can customize it and have your chopping block right there so you can pull it out. And that, of course, is naturally finished and you can cut right on it.
Sure.
So lots of options, basically.
Yeah. We grew up in a restaurant with a wooden table that had kind of an inset, very large block. And over time, that block would kind of get worn in because we were cutting hundreds, if not thousands of pounds of meat.
Right,
on it, right.
Right.
But it sort of, when I saw the pictures, it reminded me of that, but sort of in a home installation,
yes,
right? That
exactly.
It's nice to have kind of both.
Right.
But it's a really great, for those of you listening, it's a really great way to just, it's so personal and so customized. And just that idea of functional art that you mentioned, it really hits home. It's beautiful. It does very much look artistic, and yet it's functional. You can use it. You
right.
can work on it.
Yeah, and it'll last forever. That's the great thing about wood, is if you do get things scratched up, you just sand it down, and then you got it back to its original beauty just like that.
Yeah. It's just such a great story. I'm so thankful to you for spending a little bit of time with us and telling us about Nola Boards and about the projects y'all are working on. We'll put all the information again over at beyondbourbonst.com, and we'll look forward to seeing what happens in 2019. Thank
Sounds
you, Mandy.
Good. Thank you.
We'll put links to Sweet Olive Soapworks and to Nola Boards over in the show notes at beyondbourbonst.com/77. You can also find links to our sponsors, the Old 77 Hotel and Liz Wood Realty. If you're enjoying the podcast and you want to help us grow, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. I'd greatly appreciate it. New episodes are available every other Wednesday. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.